Then God shall kneel down and pray and ask God to guide us.
Hallelujah, name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Hallelujah.
I feel like Samson, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So my advice to you is that when you go get a haircut, don't go 5 minutes before it closes. Right? So that's what I did. I went to get my haircut 5 minutes before it closed, and the lady was such in a bad mood, right? Then I pointed the picture, I say, oh, I want my hair like this, and the hairdo is like George Clooney, my kind of hairdo. And then she made me look like a Looney Tune. You know? But my hair will grow back again, but yeah, this is way too short. I'm getting too old for this, right? When you get older, every time you cut your hair shorter and you don't realize, oh, you're missing hair, right? You're losing hair, you're losing there, right? So brother, take good care of your hair, right, when you're younger, right? Because a lot of you have a lot of hair. But when you get older, your hair just fall left and right, right? Before you know it, yeah, you become bald. You become bald. Right? Let's go back to Nehemiah. I'm sure Nehemiah did not have short hair, right? Because a lot of the prophets or God's worker in the olden days, their hair would be very long, right? Very long. They also long beard, right? Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Verse 7. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statute, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Right? So we know the first thing they sin against God, they intermarriage. This means they married those who are not Jews. And second, they took advantage of their own fellow brethren. What was the third thing we studied? Yes, not keeping God's commandment. And the reason they cannot keep God's commandment because of what? Yes, they did not know the word of God. Because they do not know the word of God, there's no way they're going to keep Sabbath. And how would they, you know, keep anything else if they do not know? Right? So that's why for us, it's exactly the same thing. If you and I do not know the word of God, how can we know which the thing that we do is right and which the thing that we do is not right? We cannot. But as a chosen people of God, we cannot be ignorant of his word and of his law, right? Just like, you know, when I was moving from San Jose to Dallas, and I drove the 24-foot U-Haul, right? Because I don't drive the 24-foot U-Haul every day, right? So it was quite difficult, right, driving there. And then when I went, before I got to Allen, right, Allen, Texas, this one road from 70 miles per hour to 40 miles per hour, just like on a short distance, right? So what happened when I was going 70 and I was, when the 40 miles per hour, section came, right before me, I just went 70 miles per hour. Then a cop pulled me over, right? Then what did I tell him? I didn't know this area is only 40 miles per hour. What did he say? Doesn't matter, right? You have your license to drive, you should know, right? And that 40 miles per hour is only maybe by half a mile. That's it, that section, half a mile. But thank God he didn't give me a ticket. I was praying, God, please, right? God, please, right? I don't want to get a ticket before, right, I get to Texas area, right? So the same thing. On the end days, we cannot say, God, I did not know this. God, I did not know that. Why? Because you were born into Christ. You should know the truth when you are young. So that's why the Jews, they have no excuses at all. In other words, if they don't know God's will and God's way, they must read his word. If they don't read his word, there's no way they can know what's right and what's wrong. So when you don't know what's right and what's wrong, and then you do the wrong thing, God still punishes us. But for the Gentiles, right? Of course, when they do wrong things, God will have mercy on them. So when they are baptized, God will cleanse all their sin away. But when they are born again, then once again, every word of God they must follow. Every commandment of God they must follow. So let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 10. Chapter 8, verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portion and rejoice greatly, because they understood the word that was declared to them. So when even we read the word of God, we must be able to understand it. Right? Just like in the parable of the sower, there's four grounds. But the first ground, the reason why it cannot bear fruit because of what? They can understand it. What about the second ground? Why? What's the reason they cannot bear fruit? What's that? They cannot accept it. Right, they cannot accept it. Why? Because the ground is too stony. Right? Because of this, it cannot root itself, so it cannot accept it. And the third ground, why it cannot bear fruit, the third ground. What's that? Yeah, they got choked by the world. So what does this mean when they got choked by the worries of this world? What does that mean? They cannot understand it, they cannot accept it, and then keep it. Yes, they cannot keep it. The reason they cannot keep it, why? Because even though they start to bear fruit, but the things of this world, the care of riches, come in and choke the fruit, then it cannot bear, right? To maturity. Because of this, you cannot partake of it. So quite often you and I are like this, just like the third ground. We know we need to bear fruit, but quite often the things of this world. You know, right now, maybe some of you are moved, right? You want to serve God. And it's very good, you want to serve God. But you must be also very careful. Because the minute you put in your heart you want to serve God, then Satan will come and say, yeah, you want to serve God? Then he will, you know, try to deceive you with many things. Especially after you get out of college, right? You're going to get offered a good job. You're going to make good money. And then what happened about serving God? We put it right to the side. We forget about it. Why do I share this with you? Why? Because I've been in NYTS for 13 years. And during 13 years, many brothers and many sisters want to make determination. I want to serve God. That is my focus. But what happened to them? They all have a good job, right? Good career, have family. So because of this, no longer they desire to serve God. Right? It doesn't mean, right, if you have a great career, you cannot serve God. It doesn't mean if you have family, you cannot serve God. It's not about that. It's about where your heart is. Because the Lord said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If you only focus on making money, how are we going to serve God? There's no way. To become a pastor every year, how much do we make? How much we make every year, a pastor? You guys know? Do you know? Anybody? Anybody guess? Guess.
25.
I really don't know what it is. I never checked. I don't know how much we get paid and stuff like that. But I think you're about right, right? I think Sam right now, because he's in TTP, right? So I think he's in the second year, right? He's in second year. So he gets 95% or 90% of the pastor's salary. Maybe about 25, something like that, right? Right. And of course, thank God we also have insurance, right? Health insurance, things like that, right? But yeah, what can you do nowadays with $30,000 a year? What can you do? In America, the pastor have the highest salary among all the other countries, right? Can you imagine in Africa, the pastor can make $25,000 a year, $30,000, oh man, he'd be a king, right? Because in Africa, every day, $1 is enough, right? For you to do things, right? For you to go, you know, taxi ride, for you to eat, right? Do many things for $1, right? But in this country, really, especially if you get relocated to San Jose, right? San Jose, everything is so expensive. Right? So $30,000, you cannot do much. Right? You can do much. But why they only pay enough for us to live? Why? Why do you think that is? Why? What is a good reason for that?
Why the GA, right, give only enough to live every year? Why is that? Huh?
Why? Okay. So the church don't want us to get too rich, right? Even if you make $70,000 a year, you cannot get too rich nowadays, right? But the reason they don't want to motivate us to serve God because of money. Right? Really, this is a really wonderful way to do things, right? Because a lot of priests out there, right? I share with you, the Greek priests, they make at least $100,000 a year. That was like 10 years ago. And they buy them a car, buy them a house, right? And on holidays, they make extra money, right? And during weddings, they make extra money, right? So they probably make at least $125,000 to $150,000 a year, at least. I'm sure many people want to go and be a priest, right? But how many of us want to be a pastor in our church? If you really come out to be a pastor, then you really want to be a pastor, not because of money, right? And why do you have the age limit?
The age limit, right? Why, like, you cannot apply when you are
45, right? When you're over, not that you cannot apply. If the special need is fine, but over 45, then they, you know, they try not to encourage you to apply, right? Why? Why do you think that is?
Some people say, look at Moses, he served God with 100, when he's 80 years old, right? And he served him till 120.
So why? Why do you think that is? Brother, what do you think?
Now that's very true, right? Actually, when you get 50, 60 years old, it's very difficult to travel to different countries, right?
Walk in Africa, right? When I went to Africa, one day I can walk for 7-8 hours, right? And when you turn 50, 60 years old, it's very difficult to do that, right? But the main reason, because some people, right, that age, they lose their job and stuff, right? So it seems like being a pastor is a nice cushion, right? Come and serve God, right? And then you make a steady income, right? Some people, that kind of idea, right? Actually, Taiwan, because there's so many pastors in Taiwan, right? And this is some of the pastors who come out to be pastors. That's what happened, right? And some of them, they just become so lazy, right? Because their heart is not motivated by the right thing. By the right thing. So when we think about this, right, we come back here, we must truly understand God's word. If you are really moved by God's love, then you want to come out to serve God. And serving God never ever be in vain. Even you serve God now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 40 years from now, it's always the same. But everything else in this world, think about it, right? But of course, you must be moved by the love of God. If not, we cannot last, right? What do you think the hardest job is for a pastor? What do you think the hardest thing is for a pastor? What do you guys think? Matt, what do you think, bro? Yeah, working with people, that's a job, is difficult, right? It's difficult. But actually, for me, right, the most difficult thing is when I leave my wife, right? See, when I leave my wife, that's what my wife does, right? Then it's very difficult, right? Just like when I left from Dallas, really. My wife didn't even take me to the airport, right? She didn't even take me to the airport because it's too painful. It's too painful, right? It's really too painful. Right? Why? Because, you know, even though I know my wife for 19 years already, right? But you put all the years together, these last 13 years, I see her very few times, right? Maybe 8 months out of the year, I don't see her. Right? I don't see her. So because this is very difficult. What happened if I have children, right? It's also very difficult, right? You can see pastor children, right? You guys suffer a lot too, right? You hardly see your dad, right? Right? Yes, right? Sometimes I see your dad more than you see your dad, right? It's true, right? Yeah, 1 year I saw Pastor Ho, right, so many times, right? And I counted all the time, I see him more than I see my wife, right? Because we always had seminars, right? Seminar after seminars, right? So it's very difficult. That's why the sacrifice you have to make is great, but at the same time, the reward is great. That's why you must be moved by the love of God. If not, no way you can make it, right? You know, one time when I went to Africa, right, with one of the senior ministers, and every time I call my wife, and I call from Africa, right? So 10 minutes, $10. No, $10 is 10 days of work in Africa, right? $10, 10 days of work. So I call my wife, and I call, you know, we just talk, right? Then the senior minister, he never ever called his wife. And I say, what's wrong with you? Why you never call your wife, right? Then he just doesn't say anything, right? I say, why? You need to call your wife. And for some reason, now that I've got his number, his wife's number, right? One time I was on the phone, I just gave him the phone. Here's your wife, right? And he talked to her. The minute he just say hi to her, and guess what happened? Yes, he started to cry. So the reason he didn't call his wife because it's too much pain, right? For me, I didn't realize that, right? So the minute he hears his wife say hello, right? Hello in German, right? You know, Pastor Cole's wife, right? When he say hello, then really all day he was all sad. He was all sad, right? It's difficult, really. It's difficult. But at the same time, your relationship is good because you don't see each other too much, right? So every time you see each other, you're so excited, you run to one another, hey, hi, right? You know, really. So my wife, the last time I came in, I moved to Dallas maybe a month and a week ago, right? So that's 5 weeks, right? 5 weeks. So when I was there only 3 days, I left for IHTS, right? For 2 weeks. Then when I got back for several days, then I went to Houston for Bible seminar, right? Then I came back home for a couple of days and I came here. So even though I moved there for a month and for 5 weeks, but I was there only 2-something weeks, right, altogether, right? So for her, yeah, I like, are you gonna take me to airport? She's like, nah, let your nieces take you to airport, right? So yeah, so my niece and the sister from Hawaii took me to the airport, right? It's difficult, but actually we already make determination, right? The day I was baptized in TJC is the day I already put inside my heart, I'm gonna serve God. That was the day when I got baptized. Right? Because for me, I worked as a counselor before. Right? And I know working with people is very enjoyable for me. But there's no solution to their problems. Right? So I mainly work with those who have major depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. Right? And I work with the gang disorder unit right during that time. And I know there's no solution. Doesn't matter how good a therapist you are, you can never help them. So that's why I came to Christ. I realized it's the best thing that I could do is to serve God. That was my determination. Then 3 years later, I applied for TTP. As simple as that, right? But my wife and I already make determination. When I serve God, this means she also has to serve God indirectly, right? Wherever I go, she has to go too, right? And quite often, actually, pastor, there's so many members take care of us. Everywhere we go, they feed us, we get fat, right? Really. But minister's wife always very lonely at home, right? And one time I came home, my wife said, I don't even feel you my husband anymore, right? You're just like a stranger. You come here, you sleep, and then you go back, right? And it's true, right? So pray for pastor's wife, right? But there's a lot of sacrifices. But the thing is, you must be able, right, to sacrifice for God. Right? All of you are the future workers in TJC. There's no doubt about that, right? It doesn't matter where you live. But right now, if you make determination, Satan wants to destroy it. But you must make a strong determination. For me, you know, when I say I want to serve God, I said, I don't look left, I don't look right. I remember during a time, right? And before I made the decision to apply for TTP, and I got a job offer from the state, right, which paid me $40,000 more what I was getting. You know, many people would dream for this job because it's so easy, right? Because as working for the state, all I have to do is go to different clinics and approve, you know, the facility. That's all I have to do. And they're willing to pay me $40,000 extra what I was making. For me, when I saw that automatically, Satan, you understand? Satan. Why? Because he wanted to give me that money so I don't, you know, feel like I, you know, maybe I should stay at my work, right? Instead of serve God, right? Right? So things like this, you really must have wisdom to see. Right? And another thing too, right? Ah, there's many stories. But what I'm saying to that, you must make determination. Right now, at this moment, whatever you have inside your heart, don't lose it. Don't let it go so easily. You make determination. Because we're all TJC members. For me, if I'm going to die, I'll die fighting. I'm not going to sit back and do nothing and then die, right? That's not the kind of person I am, right? So if I'm going to die and someday if I fall from the grace of God, I'm not going to be sitting down. I'm going to die fighting and preaching, right? The word of God. That's it, right? Make determination. But before you can make determination, you really must root yourself in the word of God. Let God move your heart and put it in there deep down inside. Even though Satan tried to bring it out, you still continue to keep it. It's very important. But why knowing the Word of God is so important? You must ask yourself this question. You know, quite often many members always feel that, you know, our church is not growing. So because of this, we must do some other thing besides just praying and reading the Word of God. I'll tell you, this is the wrong concept. The reason we're not growing, because we don't pray enough. We don't read enough. That's why. It doesn't matter what kind of facility we have. Really, you can build a $19 million church. It's still not as good as a Catholic church, right? The Catholic church, they are huge. Right? And some of the Orthodox churches, right? The church that I used to go to when I was young at Orthodox churches, right? Everything in the church is all plated with gold. I'm talking about real gold. And every picture they have of Peter and Paul costs probably $100,000, $150,000. And they have plenty of pictures in the building, right? We can never outdo them. But what we have, you and I have, the true promised Spirit of God. And we have the true revelation in the Bible. These are the two things we need the most to overcome an enemy. So that's why we're talking about, if you really put God's Word inside your heart and know God's Word well and believe in it, then we become a powerful work of God. Because the Word of God can do many mighty things, right? Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This is the first reason why the word of God is so important for you and I if you want to serve God. Because the word of God can sanctify us. The second question is, why is it so important for God's word to sanctify us? Why, brothers? Why? Why is it so important for God's word to sanctify us? What does it mean to be sanctified?
Brothers, any brothers? What does it mean to be sanctified? Brothers, what does it mean to be sanctified? What's that? Yes, to make holy. To make holy or to sacred, right? To sacred. So now that you want to be God's worker, there's no way
you can serve him unless you separate yourself from the people in the world and make yourself holy. This is very important, right? Why? Because as we serve in God, we must be a holy vessel. We must sanctify ourselves. We must know what's right and what's wrong. Nowadays, right? In America, right? Every single year, how many children are being aborted? Anybody know the statistic? How many every year? In the United States, how many children be aborted every single year? I think it's like 1.2 million every single year. Right? This is very sad, right? But we allow this to happen every single year. Why? Because many people do not think abortion is wrong. And sometimes, of course, if you look at statistics of why, you know, people get aborted, right, abort children, what do you think is what is the main reason why women abort their children? Why? Huh? Sisters, what do you think? What's the reason? Abort the children, not because of anything horrific happened, right? Quite often we always feel, what happened? The person got defiled, so they got pregnant. You know the chance for that is? Less than 1%. But we always use that excuse, right? Do you ever read what they do to when they abort children, abort babies? Do you ever see what they do? You guys read it and you feel horrified, right? Because different techniques to abort babies, right? But many people in this world believe that it's okay, right? And the same thing with homosexuality. Homosexuality is abomination in the eyes of God. You and I cannot approve it. We cannot approve it. The minute we approve it, then the Bible also tells us we also deserve to be put to death. Where does it say that? Where does it say that in the Bible? Those who approve sexuality, homosexuality, also deserve to be put to death. Where does it say that? Yeah, Romans chapter 1. Yes, Romans chapter 1, right? Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Who know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. See, right here, look at verse 26, chapter 1, verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Right? Verse 27. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. Very clear that homosexuality is wrong. But if you and I are not filled with God's word, is not sanctified with God's word, then we don't feel it's wrong. Of course, there's two different things, right? We think about homosexuality, right? Those who have the tendency to like the same sex. Is it a sin? If they have a tendency, right, to like the same sex, is it a sin? No. Yes. No. If you practice it, then it's a sin. Just like every sin that you and I have, right? I mean, I'm sure a lot of guys, maybe guys, some of you want 10 wives. Right? Maybe, really, most guys, they want more than one wife. But can you go out and get more than one wife? No, of course not. Some of you born, right? Such anger problem, right? Anytime you get angry, you want to kill someone. That was me before I came to Christ, right? But is it okay for us to go out and hurt someone when we are mad? No, right? Sometimes some sisters, you guys are so jealous, right? And if you feel jealous, you want to hurt someone, right? Is it feel jealous okay? Jealous is okay. But to go out and hurt someone, that's not okay. Actually, the Bible, right? God is a jealous God, right? If someday you marry and another sister put me, I only hug you, no, it's not put me, I only hug you. Why? Because he belongs to you, right? And if your husband book line over someone else, you say the same thing, hey, hold me, your eyes only for me. Right? But of course, sometimes when you feel so jealous to the point you can't think, right? You can't sleep, right? And you hate that person, that's a problem, right? So what I'm saying to you, homosexuality, the tendency of it is not wrong. That is part of the weakness, right? So are we born with some people who are born with homosexuality? Are they born with it? Yes? And the environment shape it? Is it what? The two things, right? Is it nature or nurture? Right? Is it nature or nurture, right? Nature, you're born with it, right? The nurture, you are in the environment, right? Make you, right? To become a homosexual, right? Which one is right? Huh? What's that? Depends, right? Actually, it's both. Why is both? Even though it's both, it does not make it right to practice it. Right? Do we have brothers or sisters in our church have homosexual tendency? Yes. But they also are married with opposite sex, have children, they're very happy. But of course, their weakness still, right? They still have their weakness, right? If they don't pray often, the same thing for me too. I mean, not homosexuality, but... I'm talking about being angry. I'm a very angry person, right? I'm a very angry person. But even though I'm a minister, if I don't be careful, I can get very angry. I can hurt someone, right? When I was young, really, my brother, even though he's 6'2", and he was in the, you know, he's the leader of the Red Dragon, he always afraid of me, right? Why? Because when I get angry, I get crazy. I even tried to stab him one time, right? I remember one time, you know, my wife, right, when she first met me, of course, when I asked her to marry me, for her, she had doubt, right, because I was such an angry person. In her room, the walls are always full of holes, right? Because every time I get mad, I punch all the walls, right? Then the doors, all the frame is broken, the door is full of holes, right, when I get mad, right? And then one time, of course, she knew I was a mad person, an angry person. But one time, I was in with her in a car, and I was pulling out to, you know, to go straight and take a left. Then the guy on his bicycle, right, cut right in front of me, and then I ran him over, like, right? Of course, thank God I didn't run him over, but, you know, he was down. So I went out of my car, and she thought, I'm going to go out there and help him, right? No. I go out there, I was swearing at him why he hit my car. Then I was kicking him, too. I said, if you don't get F out of here, I will kill you. And my wife, when she heard this, she's like, what kind of psychotic person I'm with, right? But thank God, after the Holy Spirit. And before, when I get angry, I used to stay in a closet. Why? Because if I go out, I will hurt something and hurt myself, right? I remember in high school, I was playing football, right? Some kid, hey, you chink, right? I jump kick him with my cleats on in his face. But thank God, he had a helmet on, so my cleat got stuck in his helmet, right, on the ground, right? Many times like this, right? Really. And one time I knocked out my track coach, right? Because one kid, I'm just telling how angry I was as a person, right? So after school, before track and field, right, I usually play basketball, right? And this big kid, right? But, you know, and I tell him, hey, can you get out of the way of playing basketball, right? And he say no, right? Then I just go to him, I say, can you get out of the way, right? And he say no. And then I smile like this, right? And then he ducked back like this, and my coach was right there. So I knocked my coach down. Right? That's how angry I was, right? But now I'm in Christ, really. I don't get angry. Once in a while. But the last time I got angry when I was in San Jose, I was already a pastor back then, right? So after giving a sermon in afternoon, I came home, and this crazy guy was banging on my door, right? Screaming and yelling. And I went over there and said, can I help you? Right? And he said, your dog barked, right? And making so much noise. And I told him, if you bang the door, you know, very loud, you think, what my dog going to do? Bark even louder, right? But even though I was very calm, but in my head, he's already on the ground. I'm kicking his face already. That was going in my mind, right? Really, I had to repent. I had to pray and repent to God. Because I cannot have like that inside my heart. Right? I'm a pastor, right? I can't have that, right? So everything is like this, brethren, right? Any weaknesses. So we must use the word of God to sanctify us, right? If you have homosexual tendency, pray more and read God's word more so it can sanctify you, right? But don't think, if you look at a guy, he's all nice looking, it's okay for you to say, oh, he's nice looking, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? Right, right, guys? Yes. You have to be sober-minded, right? Even you look at a girl, she's pretty, you cannot say, oh, she's so ugly looking. No, she's pretty. When I'm with my wife, if there's a pretty girl, I say, hey, that girl's pretty. She's like, oh, yeah, I agree, right? Right? But if she say, oh, that guy's good looking, I'm like, what? So we have to be sober-minded. How do we? But we must sanctify ourselves. And only the Word of God can do that. There's nothing else this world can tell us what's right and what's wrong except for the Word of God. Because human law, human way, always change in time. But God's Word, God's commandment is always the same. Homosexuality was sinful During the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's sinful now. At this time, never changes. So that's why it's so important for us to have the Word of God inside our heart if we want to serve God.
Right.
Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and it discerns of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the reason, and second reason why you and I need to fill with God's word. No, human beings are so difficult. Really, I know my wife for 19 years, I still do not understand her. Women are more complicated than men, right? But human in general, we are so complicated, right? Really. So that's why when you marry, you must pray hard, right? Because if you don't pray hard, you have no idea what your wife is going to be like, right? Even though you know her outwardly, but inwardly you do not know. It's normal. For the sister, the same thing too, right? Outwardly, the brother looks like a sheep, but inwardly, maybe a goat, right? But even a wolf, right? We must know. So that's why here, when we're trying to work with people are so difficult. So here, if we have the Word of God, why? Because the Word of God is like a double-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it discerns of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we fill with God's word, quite often the Holy Spirit will move to say a certain thing that we don't have it inside of us, but God moves to say it. So when we say it, that person who's listening to you can be so moved. My soul moved. True seekers, really true seekers. Even though I work as a counselor for 10 years, I work with people like all the time. But when it comes to true seekers, it's so difficult to understand. What are they thinking, right? What's deep down inside their heart? So that's why we fill with God's word and fill with God's spirit. When we speak to them, the Holy Spirit give us, right, the wisdom to speak. Know, there's one time when I first came to Christ, and I wanted to preach to my consultant. He usually come and, you know, maybe once a week come to do consultant, right, or supervise me during that time, right? So when I prayed to God, God, I really want this opportunity to preach to him. Then the minute he walked into my room, the first thing came out of his mouth, man, I just want to be like Moses. That's what he said to me, right? I just want to be on a mountain with God, right? For me, that's a sign right there, right? The next 3 hours, we're talking about God. The next 3 hours. But during that time, I just came to Christ. I do not know the Bible. But when I was speaking, whatever I know from the Bible, my tongue started clicking. It's almost like I was speaking in spirit, but words come out of my mouth. That's the first time I experienced such things. I speak the word of God, but my tongue started clicking, moving, but words coming out. And I was looking at my consultant. He was all sweating, right? He feels so moved. He's like, where's your church, Booty? Where's your church? He's like that. I said, we don't have a church, but we have, you know, worship services, right? He said, give me the number, right? So I gave him the number, said, I'll be there this Friday, right? He was so excited. If you see him, you know that he was completely moved by the Holy Spirit. Then when he went home, he caught a fever. And then he had the pneumonia. He was in bed for 2 weeks. Never able to come to a service, right? Satan is quick, right? Satan is quick. After 2 weeks, he lost, right, the kind of heart already, right? And I remember, too, one time. Every time, because, you know, back then when I was working in an agency, I was the boss, right? So everybody had to listen to me. So every lunchtime, before they could eat their lunch, they had to listen to me preaching the gospel. Because I didn't care. You're not supposed to do this kind of stuff, right? Because I'm going to leave anyway, right? So this is my last opportunity, right? So before they eat lunch, I always tell them, right? I don't know the word of God that well, I'm telling you. I just came to Christ. But all I know, I said, you need to be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, you must pray like this, right? And I would preach to them, right? And of course, I preach so many times, sometimes it's just like, oh, come on, Rudy, you can't stop already, right? But then this one worker, right, one worker, and she had a liver failure. She was rushed to the hospital. And when she's in the hospital, the doctor say they need a, you know, they need a liver transplant that Sunday. If not, she was going to die. So when she went in the hospital, she cannot eat solid food, she cannot drink water. She hardly can even swallow her own saliva, right? Because, I mean, she was dying. She was dying. So when she was in the hospital, and then she was sleeping, and all of a sudden, she heard a voice in Cambodian, right? A voice in Cambodian. Ngop lam atutan, right? Get up and pray. She was a Buddhist for many years. Buddhist for many years, but when the voice told her, get up and pray, automatically, she testified to me. She saw me standing preaching to her, right, in the office, right? How to pray, right? It's in the name of Jesus Christ. So, but she had a roommate back then, right? So she got up, she took her IV and everything, right? She went to the bathroom, and she prayed. And she prayed, and then all of a sudden, she felt something going to her, you know, heart going to her. And she felt so joyful. Then she went back to bed. The next morning, the doctor came. She began to drink water and ate solid food. And ate solid food. And then, just happened a pastor going to visit Boston that time. So I asked the pastor to go visit her. So the pastor went to visit her on a Saturday, right before Sabbath, right? Lay hands on her. Then Sundays will be a liver transplant. They check her. Guess what happened? Her liver completely cured. Nothing wrong with her at all. And Monday, she came to work. This is our church, how powerful it is, right? Really, we must truly have faith in what God has given to us. So the time she was so excited, she wanted to come to church and everything. So I gave her a Bible, but her husband told her, Jesus did not heal you. Buddha the one that's healed you, because we also pray for you, right? And she said, no, for sure it was Jesus. And then her husband, you cannot read the Bible anymore. Forbid her. You cannot go to church anymore. Forbid her. Then she would go into the bathroom while her husband is asleep and read the Bible, right? Because she knew for sure Jesus the one that healed her. But after she tried to hide herself for a while, and then she has no more motivation, right? She lost that heart, and then she never came to church. But what I'm saying to you, when you have the Word of God inside your heart, it doesn't matter how little you have, as long as you believe in it, the Word of God will pierce people's heart. So when she said, when the voice tell her, get up and pray, there's no way she did not think about Buddha, because all her life is like this. And they chant and pray to Buddha. But that time, she knew to pray to Jesus. And because Jesus, full of love, full of mercy, he healed her. Right? But physical healing does not, quite often, does not lead to spiritual healing, right? And she's still now, right? I lost contact with her already. But she hasn't come to her church all that time. So really, be convicted with the Word of God, right? Let's go to Revelation, the Word of God. The Word of God. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. You can see in the book of Nehemiah, right? More than one chapter, Nehemiah take the time for Ezra to read the Word of God to them. It's so important. If they want to rebuild the wall, they must know what they need to do, right? They must know God's ordinances. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. Verse 12. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, verse 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Verse 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, follow him on white horses. Verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that which it he would should strike the nation, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Then verse 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, Kings of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right? Here, if you and I have the Word of God inside of us, on the end days, we will not be judged according to the sin that we have. Why? Because the Word is inside of us. The Word is inside of us. So here, you can see in verse 15, right? Now out of his mouth go a sharp sword. What is that sharp sword, you think? What is it? What's that sharp sword going out of his mouth? What's that? Yes, the Word of God, right? Because we read in Hebrews, right? The Word of God is like a double-edged sword. So now out of his mouth, how are we going to judge the nation? Fight against the nation? With his Word. With his Word. But for you and I, we have nothing to worry about if we have the Word of God, right? The Word of God not only can sanctify us, not only allow us to know people's heart, but also to get away, right? To be free from the judgment of God on the end days. This is very important, right? Very important. So if you and I do not have the Word of God, we are done. We are done, right? Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Right? Then verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So in verse 12, the author tells us, we do not fight against flesh and blood. This means it's not human, right? We're not fighting against other human, but against principality, right? What is principalities, right? Against powers, against the rule of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Say, therefore, right? This means know that the enemy we are fighting, right? If I know I'm going to fight my little nephew, only 8 years old, and he's only this big, I don't need to do much, right? He's gone already, right? So, for us, we must know our enemy. Look at this enemy. How fierce he is. How powerful he is. And he's spiritual. So that's why I say, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. So, because we know our enemy, so we must put on the whole armor of God. And that whole armor of God is what? Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, have girded your waist with truth. What is truth? Huh? What is truth? The Word of God. My truth is the Word of God, right? We just read that. And where? We just read that. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Read that. Yeah, John 17, 17. Right? John 17, 17, right? And then, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. How can we be sanctified and become righteous? How? How? How can we become sanctified, right? Become righteous. How? Brother, what do you think? Yes, the Word of God. The Word of God. If we want to be righteous, we always follow the Word of God. We have the Word of God inside of us, then we become righteous. Right? Then look at verse 15. and haven't sought your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? The word of God, yeah? The word of God. Look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How do we increase in our faith? The word of God. Where does it say faith come by hearing? Hearing by the word of God. Where does it say that? Faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So if we want to increase in our faith, we must hear the word of God. Continually to hear the word of God. Where does it say that? What's that? Yes, Romans chapter. Who say Romans? Are you guys doing teamwork over there? Romans 10, verse 17, right? Romans 10, 17, right? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Just like Peter, remember, right? Peter, before he met Jesus Christ, he went out fishing, right? He caught nothing. So after he heard the word spoken by Jesus, then Jesus told him, go into deep for a catch. And what did he say? What did he say? When Jesus said, go into deep, let down your net for a catch, what did he say? What did Peter say? Luke chapter 5, right? See Luke chapter 5, what did he say? What's that? Before that. Almost, right? I already did that, or... What's that? What did he say exactly? Yeah. He said, Lord, we have toiled all night, but we caught nothing. But... at your word. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. This is faith, right? Even though he tried already, he cannot catch anything. Not because he heard the word from Jesus. He said, at your word, I will let down the net. So they caught many fish, right? And their nets began to break, right? So this is faith, right? Then Ephesians chapter 6 again, right? Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? The sword of the Spirit. So the word of God belongs to who?
Belongs to who? Us? Does it belong to you?
No.
The word of God belongs to who here? To the Spirit, right?
The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So the word of God is just like a sword, right? And who's the one using the sword? Who?
Huh? Us? Holy Spirit. If you yourself try to use it, you'll kill yourself. That's why many people who read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, they always confuse themselves and automatically kill themselves spiritually, right? Just like Star Wars, right? Who can use the lightsaber? Jedi warrior, right? Right, Jedi warrior. Even the bad, even Darth Vader, he was Jedi before, right? Right?
So they are trained in Jedi warfare, right? So they know how to use the lightsaber, right? If normal people just use it, they might cut themselves, right? The word of God is so important. If we read the word of God, and we don't have this, and we're not filled with the Spirit of God, you and I can use the word of God to kill ourselves and to kill other people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why reading and praying goes hand in hand. And that's why Satan cannot subdue you and I. One time when I was working, right? When I was working. And first, this guy that I worked with, he used to be a cannibal. They mean he ate people before, right? So he went to many therapists already. And he threatened to kill his therapist, right? So for me, I didn't know. They didn't give me this warning ahead of time. So like they referred to me, right? Say, okay, fine, no problem, right? So when I saw him, right? First, usually those who have the evil spirit, when they look at me, they cannot look at me for too long, right? Because we have God's spirit inside of us, right? I remember one lady, she thinks she's a Terminator, right? And she thinks she's like Bruce Lee, right? So every time she talked to me, she's like, if I was sitting there, she's like this. She would talk like this, right? And she goes like this. Because she had the evil spirit, right? But this man, he can look at me, right? For 40 minutes without blinking. Yeah, it's very scary. Very scary. If I didn't have God, I could never see this man for therapy. No way. And then the court asked me to go testify against him, right? So when I was on the stand testifying against him, he looked at me like this, right? But thank God I just told the truth, that this man is not fit, right, for him to take care of his children, right? And thank God. Really? You know, that was very difficult, right? Because I'm afraid he's going to come and kill me, right? But thank God, after I say that, I think they arrested him, put him somewhere, and never see him again. But I became a TTP student after that, so you cannot find me, right? So really, the Spirit of God is so powerful. And one time, this little girl, they referred her to see me, right? So during the time, you know, she came with her mother. So I just asked her mother, please come, you know, come into my office. I want to talk to you first, right? So I talked to her mother about, you know, about 10, 15 minutes. So I went out, and the little girl was sitting where Jeffrey is sitting, right? And I said, you have time to come in, right? She's like, no. And I said, you have time to come in? She's like, no. Right? And the voice knows, not like little kids know, right? But no, like that. Right? I said, okay, if you don't want to come this time, you come next time. She's like, no. And she was climbing up the wall. She was going to climb the wall, then finally she just ran out, right? And for me, I'm like, I don't know. I just came to Christ. I have no idea what's going on. And then I just thought, like, oh, what's wrong with this little girl? I was scratching my head. And then my co-worker, before I went to my office, I told my co-worker, you know, she's only 9 years old. Take care of her, right? But when I went out, she was by herself. So what happened, my co-worker told me, when they were talking to this little girl, right, and the little girl looked at them like this, and they all was full of chill, right? They got so scared, they went in their room. So when I went out there, right, and my co-worker heard her yelling, no, no, right? And she's like, why? And my co-worker told me, why the little girl is so afraid of you? I was thinking, oh, I don't know what happened, right? He said, oh, you believe in God. That's why. I was thinking about like, oh, yeah. Really, I didn't know what was going on, right? And during that time, I knew because we had the Spirit of God inside of us. So the little girl was so afraid, right? She ran out. I never see her again. But this is so important. When we walk on the street, Satan knows if you're filled with God's spirit or not, and filled with God's word or not. So let's all of us be filled with God's word, filled with God's spirit. So every time Satan sees us, he will shake in his boot, right? I don't know if he's wearing boots or not, but he was shaking it, whatever he's wearing, right? Really, it's so important. You and I are extraordinary, right? From the spirit point of view, you and I just God children. So please, right, don't throw that kind of status away, please, okay? Let's bow our head and pray in silence. Amen.